Let's say you've just begun to get into plants, or that you want to, but don't know the way to go. I want to give you an idea about the way you're going to accomplish this before you get off to a bad start and total some neat plants. In our shop, there are some questions and answers that come up every day with new plant lovers. The same questions with the same answers. So let's cover them, because if you have the basics, you're on your way. You must take a positive attitude first. None of this everything I take home dies. Forget it. From now on, you're going to grow plants. The best advice I can give you in houseplant care is love and intelligent neglect. Follow the basics and let the plants alone to do their own thing. Growing plants is much like raising kids. You have to have certain rules, and you have to be in command. You can't simply stand there wringing your hands and being tentative. If you run scared, they'll know it every time. The first rule is to buy a healthy plant. This means doing some checking around with your friends who have plants and who are knowledgeable plant growers. Take their advice on the best place to buy. Drugstores to knitting shops are into the Plant Act, and a lot of plants are being sold by people who can't tell you anything about them except their price. So for the novice, who may not be able to tell the difference between a mealybug and a succulent, it's smart to buy your plants where qualified plant people can advise you and are happy to spend time explaining the proper way to handle your choice. I suggest you begin on rather a modest scale. Don't get at the beginning and sink your fortune into a really large plant. Get some experience and gain some confidence practicing on less expensive, more adaptable plants. After you've sprouted some new leaves and had the satisfaction of realizing that it was your care that got this fabulous thing going, you'd float alone to buy a real specimen. Okay, you now have your plant at home, tenderly placed in good light. Please, don't grab the fertilizer. No plant grown in a greenhouse needs fertilizer for at least 3 to 4 months after you've bought it. Fertilize only during the growing season, which in most areas will be from April through October. I find fertilizer soluble in the easy to go. My own feeling about fertilizing is to use about half the quantity the manufacturer suggests, and then only once a month. If you'll water your plants in the morning and rewater late the same day with the fertilizer water, you won't burn the leaves from an overdose. Do not fertilize in winter. Plants go semi-dormant at that period. It's all they can manage to live in the dry, overheated houses and apartments without also being given a shot of fertilizer and being asked to grow. Water your plants less frequently in winter than when they're growing. Lower natural light in winter combined with a soil condition that remains wet too long can create havoc. The less light a plant gets, the less moisture you give it. More plants have gone to their graves by overwatering than any other single reason. You simply cannot brush your finger across the surface of the soil and know, because the surface is dry, that the plant needs watering. Put your finger down in the soil an inch or more. Then if you don't find moist soil particles, it's time to water the plant. Check every day, but only water when this test proves that the plant is dry. Then really drench it from the top of the pot to the bottom. If after an hour there is still water left in the plant saucer, pour it out. Plants should not sit in water. You'll rot their roots. I want to stress the importance of thoroughly watering the entire ball of earth the plant is growing in. A small amount of water given every day or two is doing nothing but teasing the root system. The roots in the lower half of the pot may be screaming for water. You also can't water your plants every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. A plant sitting in a tiny pot with a 3-inch diameter may well require watering every other day, while a large plant in a 14-inch pot may in some cases go 3 weeks between waterings, but the same principle applies. One of the most common misconceptions about repotting plants is that if you give the roots a lot of room to grow, you'll also grow a lush plant. The exact opposite is true. Cramp the roots a bit, and the plant has nowhere to go but up. In repotting, never use a pot more than 1 or 2 inches bigger than the present size the plant is in. Repot in something too big, and the plant can sit for months growing roots like crazy and putting out exactly 0 above the top of the pot. While we're on the subject of potting, let me urge you to use nothing but pots with a drainage hole in the bottom. Cover the hole with broken pieces of crockery to hold the soil in and allow the excess water to drain out. If you like a more unusual container than the simple clay or plastic that the plant is growing in, double pot it by setting the planted pot down in a larger pot that you may find more attractive. You can even put moist sphagnum moss in between the two pots for added humidity. Many people enjoy mixing their own potting soil. However, for beginners, there is only one fact to remember above everything. It's imperative to use a good, sterilized potting soil. Soil which is not sterilized can really cause disease problems. Also, if you're using anything but a new pot, scrub it well, inside and out, and wash it thoroughly in a good soapy water, and finish by giving it a dip in a household bleach solution, about a tablespoon of bleach to a gallon of water. This again gets rid of many possible diseases. Clean plants have a resistance to bugs and other problems. Give your plants a weekly shower or spray them and wash the leaves. They look so much healthier, prettier, and cared for, and they always enjoy the added humidity. The importance of misting the foliage daily with lukewarm water can't be overstressed. Most houseplants love high humidity. Misting is an excellent way to achieve it. Hold a piece of newspaper behind the plant and put a sheet of light plastic on the floor to save the furniture and carpeting while you mist. A tray of pebbles and water for your plants to sit on also lend humidity. Just make sure the plant is up out of the water. Perhaps the most important factor in growing plants well is good light, real or artificial. All your efforts will be futile without adequate light. 10 to 12 hours of good light is what a plant needs every day. If your windows do not provide it, use artificial light. Fluorescent tubes are the least expensive to operate. You can use a variety, but I feel in most cases, cool white will get the job done. You don't have to worry about fluorescence burning your plants, so even as close as 4 inches from the light won't hurt them. Small plants can be grouped under a light that's bright enough to read by, or under a desk lamp. Just keep in mind that you have to leave the light on them all day. Now I'm going to give you a few tips on the care of some of the more popular plants. Some of these are touchy if you aren't very careful to remember the kind of care they really require. Others of them are easygoing types who will live in spite of you. Let's start with the fern, which seems to head the list of problem plants for beginners. Being native to woodsy areas, they love high humidity. Where people go wrong is in keeping the soil on a fern constantly wet. Ferns don't want wet feet. You can find ferns growing in a rock crevice with almost no soil around their roots. The high humidity keeps it thriving. Use the same principle with your fern. You'll be amazed. Allow the soil to dry well between waterings, then soak it. The secret is daily misting of the foliage. 2 or 3 times a day is not too often. This advice does not agree with many houseplant care books, but I can guarantee it works. Ferns need good, diffused light. English and grape ivy, as well as most of the ivy family, like much the same care as ferns. Too frequent watering of the soil will rot the roots, but misting is really appreciated. Good bright light helps too. The spider or airplane plant is a green and white striped longleaf plant that will grow long runners with tiny plantlets at the end of the runners. It's a beautiful hanging plant, and it looks good over a shelf too. These plants thrive in bright light and should be allowed to dry out well between drenchings. All spiders, even in the ideal conditions of a greenhouse, get brown tips. they dislike the fluoride in the water. Simply snip off the tips at an angle and forget it. They're usually so full of leaves they won't mind, nor will you. Too much fluoride in the water also causes dracaenas to brown at the ends of the leaves. Get your scissors out and snip the brown off. Dracaenas are all striking plants. There are dozens of varieties, the most common of which, perhaps, is the corn plant with full, long, green and yellow leaves looking very much like corn. And the one with the huge tufts of slender, long, flat leaves growing at the top of bare, woody trunks. This is commonly called the dragon tree. You really want to guard against overwatering this plant. In fact, overwatering any dracaenas. They like to be completely dry between drenchings. They want bright light, not direct sun, just good, bright light. Palms are really showpieces. When you realize the beauty a palm can bring to any interior, you'll be patient with their slow growth. They have few needs. They're in a deep pot with rich soil and good drainage. They love to have their leaves sponged off or to take a shower with you. They're quite tolerant of warmer temperatures and very resistant to bugs and disease. Aphalandra is a temperamental beauty with dark green and white veined leaves and a spiky blossom of brilliant yellow with narrow red edges. Because of the distinctive striping of the foliage, it's known as the zebra plant. They'll only make you unhappy if you fail to realize that the leaves are so thin that unless the plant is kept constantly moist, the cells in the leaves die and the lower leaves will fall off in a matter of hours. It's a prima donna, and when it says, "I want to be watered," it's now. So check the moisture content of the pot daily. It likes filtered light and high humidity. If you've goofed and the leaves have dropped to such a degree that you have a naked stem with only a few leaves at the top, cut off the top at a pleasing length, root it easily in water, and start a new zebra. Another variegated leafed prima donna is the wide-spreading Fittonia, just as demanding of humidity and constant light moisture. It can't stand direct sun and is often put in a terrarium where it's known as the barometer plant, because when it wilts, it's really time to check all the terrarium plants for water. Let's talk about terrariums for a moment. Where you hardly have room for an entire grouping of plants, you can enjoy a little enclosed garden, even though it might be no larger than a fishbowl. Tiny ferns, baby tears, miniature palms, Fittonia, any small versions of plants which like high humidity are perfect choices for the terrarium. Give your terrarium good light, but absolutely no sun. If it has a cover, it won't need watering very frequently at all. When you water your terrarium, use a delicate touch. Perhaps a tablespoon of water around the base of each plant and a general misting of the whole surface. If it's a small-necked bottle, a kitchen baster is good for watering it. Just remember that there's nowhere for excess water to escape. If after watering, the inside of the terrarium beads up with moisture, remove the lid for a few hours or until it stops. Just a slight mist on the glass is fine, but too much moisture will cause rotting of the plants. St. Paulia, or African violets, are one of the most popular houseplants. There are literally hundreds of varieties. They're temperamental and frustrate many would-be violet fanciers. If you really want profuse bloom, know that African violets want 18 hours of daylight. Get yourself a time clock so that you won't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start your violet's day. If a violet plant is placed beneath a 60-watt incandescent bulb for 18 hours a day, not only will it grow to large proportions, it will bloom like mad. Incidentally, keep the light at least 24 inches from the blooms. Violets like 68 to 75 degrees in temperature. They should be moist at all times. Feed them with a special African violet food once a month. The violet, because it blooms year-round, can be fertilized through the winter months as well. Just don't over-fertilize. Follow directions, and if anything, use slightly less. Water the plant from the bottom, because water spots and rots the leaves of a violet. Duffenbachia is a stunning plant with its large green and yellow marbled leaves. It grows quite tall and makes a choice contrast with other plants. It's called the dumb cane because of a juice in the leaves and stems that isn't really harmful but can cause temporary muteness if put on the tongue. Good idea to keep it away from your plant eaters. It's also called a four-leaf plant because, given incorrect care, it usually ends up with only four leaves. Duffenbachia only like a couple of hours of sun a day and will even be happy with a north exposure. Be quite sure the plant is dry before rewatering thoroughly. Piggyback still grows wild in some areas extending from Alaska to California. Piggyback is quickly becoming one of the most popular of houseplants. It was given its name because of the way the new leaves grow from the bases of older leaves. It's a good hanging plant and collapses dramatically when it gets dry, but revives beautifully in about 20 minutes after watering. Heart-shaped, hairy leaves, light green in color, produce plantlets at the junction of the leaf stalk and its stem. By removing the entire leaf and inserting it in a pot of moist sand, roots will sprout, and the new piggyback is ready for a 2-inch pot. The full-grown plant is full and low-growing. Give the plant good, bright, indirect light, and keep the temperature cool and the circulation of air good. The piggyback is a charming plant and looks particularly good in an early American room. This one likes to be moist at all times, so don't allow to thoroughly dry before rewatering. An old and common plant with lots of assets and few liabilities is the Wandering Jew. Its vibrant color becomes even richer the more sun it gets. It makes a terrific hanging plant. The runners multiply like weeds, so you need to pinch it back regularly so that it doesn't become leggy. You can root the cuttings in a glass of water and put them back in the mother plant to make it fuller. Wandering Jew likes good light. When the soil is slightly dry is when they need a drink. They grow like crabgrass, so go easy on the fertilizer. One neat sun lover everyone should have is the aloe. It's often called the burn plant because if you break off one of the leaves, the juice from it will ease the pain if you've burned yourself. The aloe is a succulent that loves a hot, dry, sunny area. It holds a tremendous amount of water in the stems, so requires watering only very infrequently. Plants are as individual as people. Certainly, you can say if their living conditions are poor, people and plants will suffer. But when you get down to particulars, you will find that certain deficiencies result in certain illnesses. A plant must have all of the major growing factors present to be a fine, thriving fellow. Adequate light and humidity, the right temperature, correct soil mixture, and the proper feeding. Leave one of these out, or give too much or too little, and you have a sick plant. Plants do tell you they're on the sick list. They get yellow leaves from too much or not enough water. Their leaves fall off. They turn brown. They get brittle. And they droop. Something you're doing too much of or not enough of, aside from the bug problem, is usually the root of your plant problem. This is why I preach, learn the basics. I'm very much in favor of using a good insect balm or its organic equivalent as a preventive measure once a month, particularly during the winter. Bugs seem to adore hot, dry rooms. It's also a good idea to give any new plant a shot of bug balm before you allow him to join the rest of the family. A mild soap suds bath using Lux, Ivory, or Fels Naphtha, followed by a good rinsing, will often solve the red spider and aphid problem as well as others. A cotton swab dipped in alcohol and applied to mealybug will take care of a mild problem. If the plant is really infested heavily with mealybug, it's best to toss it. Always isolate a sick plant. In quarantine, he won't spread disease. All of your plants will love a summer vacation outside. Just make sure they're placed in a shady area. Otherwise, you'll have some very sick plants from sunburn. They love the fresh air and will thrive in their own natural environment. They'll also dry out faster, so make sure you check them daily. Just be sure before you bring them back inside in late summer, you thoroughly wash them off and use an insect balm. Plants that you thought were on their way out will flourish outside. So if you have the space and the shade, let them enjoy the summer air. I hope with these instructions, you'll run out and buy yourself a plant to love. We're an earthy people, and we love to get our hands in the soil. The more concrete jungles we build, the more need we have for a living room, a high-rise apartment, or a split level in a housing development. So, wade in. Get your thumbs green, all the way up to your elbows.